Welcome again to another edition of the IDS Hour. I'm Paul Honeycutt, joined as always by Jeff Volker. We are working our way through a book entitled From the Finger of God, subtitled The Biblical and Theological Basis for the Threefold Division of the Law, written by a fellow named Philip S. Ross. I believe he's out of Scotland, and it's published by Mentor Books. We're at chapter 6 today, Jeff. It's entitled The Law in Acts. We finally made it to Acts. We're almost to the teaching passages. That will be next week. One of our concerns with this book has been, and I know we've mentioned it past programs, is just the fact that Mr. Ross seems to make the assumption, just automatically assumes, that this threefold basis for the law exists and that his covenant perspective is the majority view and that's sort of it. But our biggest frustration has been that he doesn't take us to those clear teaching passages in the epistles to make his point. So he will camp in the Gospels, or he camped in the Old Testament. Today we're going to see where he kind of camps in Acts and tries to make his case exclusively from just certain texts, ignoring all the other texts, seemingly. And that's a real frustration for us. But today we're going to talk primarily about the Jerusalem Council and their decree. But first of all, we're going to talk about what he considers the handling of the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue by Luke in this narrative, the Book of Acts. And we're going to focus primarily on the Sabbath, because what he does here, I think, this is a good example. He says in Luke's handling of the Sabbath, he says, Luke only ever presents the apostles as falling in line with traditional respect of Sabbath as a day of worship and prayer. Then he goes to his reference, Acts 13, 14, 44, 16, 13, 72, 18, 4. Well, when you look those verses up, and we can just start with Acts 13, 14, how does that demonstrate, or does that demonstrate, that the apostles were holding to the Sabbath?
Okay, this is a great illustration, I suppose, of how not to handle Scripture, even though we know Ross is a believer and a good guy. But in Acts 13, we have Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And verse 13 says, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John, that's John Mark, left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. Okay, then they taught. And this is, as Ross accurately points out, this happens repeatedly in the book of Acts,
right,
which is true. So, but his point is that because Paul went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, that meant he was affirming that the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment, still applied this side of Pentecost in the book of Acts. We would say, no, that's not how it works. Paul's missionary strategy seems to have been, when he went into a new area, he immediately, the first place he went to, which was the place where he had the obvious, audience where he would be accepted, at least initially, was a synagogue. He was a Jew. And so he goes to the synagogue and he presents the gospel. But there is no way that you could then say, because he went to the synagogue, which met on the Sabbath day, Saturday, or Friday night to Saturday night, that therefore he was affirming the ongoing validity for the Sabbath today. That just doesn't follow. And this is where our frustration with Ross, because here you would say, well, the Apostle Paul himself, and that's what we're talking about, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, where he's talking in terms of, he's sort of battling in Colossians a twofold sort of enemy, the Judaizers who try to bring the Mosaic Law back over into the New Covenant era, as well as Gnostic folks. But he says this in verse 16, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
Right.
So here you have, you know, let's just sort of play devil's advocate. Okay, let's say, Ross, that it's possible because when Paul went into a new area, that he first attended the synagogue, which met on Sabbath, which we all agree about that, mm-hmm. that he went there because he was biblically obligated to do this on the Sabbath, because he recognized the ongoing binding nature of the Sabbath commandment, the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Well, then, but this same guy says that the Sabbath day, as well as all the other celebrations in the Mosaic Law, these are no longer binding. He says that. And then, if you went to 1 Corinthians 9, which we've been to before, where he's talking about his own evangelistic strategy, you know, where he says to the Jews, I became like a Jew. I became like a Jew. But he in verse 20, he says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, which is the same thing, Jews, mm-hmm. I became like one under the law. Then he says, though I myself am not under the law. Right. Now, here, sort of two things could be recognized. One, he's viewing the Mosaic Law as a whole. He's not subdividing it, moral, civil, ceremonial, as Ross does. And Ross's argument is that the ceremonial and civil portion of the Mosaic Law, those, for whatever reason, those are no longer binding. Those don't pass over, but the moral version, moral portion of the Mosaic Law is still binding on us. Paul doesn't even address that. He just says the law, the Mosaic Law in general, he's not under that. He's not under that. And so when you look at this, you're saying that how can, you know, the Sabbath commandment, how can you say he thinks he's still under it?
Right.
He doesn't. So then, and this is where, when we look at Ross's handling of the arguments there in each chapter, our frustration continually is Ross only chooses, let's say, if we're discussing the book of Acts, he's not going to go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Whereas if he just went to, we would say, 1 Corinthians 9, that... or like Colossians 2, 15, 16, and 17, the answer would be simple, that Paul went to the synagogue on the Sabbath to share the gospel to Jews because that's where they gathered, and he had an immediate audience. They would accept him, at least initially, because he was a Jew. So it has nothing to do with the Sabbath commandment being binding. In his own teaching passage, he clearly says it's not.
It reminds me, and this is a bad example, but it just comes to mind because I'm such a big mystery reader. I love to read mysteries. It'd be like, and I know people that would do this. I know people that watch movies and do this and drive me crazy. You get a few chapters into the mystery, and you're trying to figure out what all these little happenstances and situations and so forth mean. Well, you won't know until you get to the end of the book. I just finished a book yesterday where it was fascinating how he tied it all together, and I would have never guessed. And in a sense, that's what I feel like with Ross. He's taking bits of information without all the facts, certainly without understanding how they're going to be applied, and he's making cases that just don't make sense. Mm. It's really difficult. His main focus in this chapter is on the apostolic decree, the Jerusalem Council. And just to give some quick background, that's found in Acts 15, where it starts out the very first verse, some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. And that brought ultimately Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, to James and Peter and the whole church of Jerusalem, the council, to deal with this issue. What they were talking about, Gentiles. Gentiles must submit to the Mosaic Law, including circumcision. And at the end of that council, they had a decree. And it's verse 19 where James, I think, is the one who says, he says, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times, and it is